Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to RBP. I'm Ross Bolin here with Jared Borslow. J-Bone, how are you?
I'm doing well. What do you think about my face?
You look cleanly and therefore closer to God.
Thank you. Yeah, I shaved.
You look younger and somehow older at the same time?
The olderness is from me looking kempt, but I do look younger because my beard makes me look much older.
Yeah.
I haven't been carded since I was 21.
I haven't been clean shaven since I got married. Everybody knows I'm now divorced. I don't have to say it. And if I ever choose to shave fully again, which I doubt, you'll get to see that the same thing happens with me. I'm aging myself up a bit with this, but I look like a really generic white dude without facial hair. Like, even more so, right?
I've never asked you this. What do you think about your own facial hair?
It's not... I mean, I've grown to love it, but when I first started growing facial hair, somewhere in, you know... I hit puberty at 24.
Uh-huh.
I was like 26, probably.
Okay.
No, but realistically, I first started growing facial hair, and I'm doing air quotes here, in college... And pretty late into college before I like had to shave on an anywhere near semi-regular basis.
People don't believe this, but I could not grow like a quote-unquote beard, full beard, till junior year of college.
Oh, I can't grow a quote-unquote beard right now. And I'm 30 fucking four.
But people, when you have a pretty sizable beard like me and you always have one, people are always like assuming you were like, you rolled out of the fucking womb with it.
That's
like,
true.
My sophomore year
of college. I do look
at
you bearded guys and assume... that you were one of those dudes that's had the ability to grow facial hair since high school.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case with you.
Sophomore year of college, it was like the only time when it was like so bad that I had to shave. Because it's like, oh, if I leave it like this, I'm really ugly.
I don't know who to hold responsible for my facial hair, Jared, since you asked about it. I don't think my dad can really grow a beard. And I know this because my dad definitely doesn't cut his hair. And he would definitely have a beard if he could have a beard. And therefore, I don't believe he's able to grow one. Dad, I'm sorry if you're listening and that's incorrect, but that's what I'm assuming based on 34 years of being your son.
People don't know this about my relationship with your dad. He's also my dad. But
yeah,
people know that.
Exactly. Yeah, my dad, for years now, long before Jared worked at Bolin Media, has jokingly referred to Jared as his other son.
But here's a funny story. So
my dad, not a doctor, I might add.
I've never met your father. I've met your mother, lovely woman. Hello, Deb. You're probably listening. Now, when I first saw your father's Twitter account, I thought his profile picture was Jeff Bridges as the Big Lebowski, but it was him.
No, his profile picture has never been him. It has been...
Was it Jeff Bridges?
No. For many, many, many years, it was the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world. My dad is a social media anon. As people would call it. He's never been a full-fledged, outed version of himself on the internet. Except on Facebook, which I'm not even sure he has, to be frank.
Does your dad look like Jeff Bridges?
Stylistically, yes. Facially, no.
Okay.
He looks like Jeff Bridges in The Big Lebowski, specifically. Which I feel like is how Jeff Bridges looks often. Or just permanently in my mind. But regardless, the man, I don't think he can grow a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go bald and you're looking for somebody to blame and you know, we have all these different, some of, I think it's your mother's side of the family, people blame genetically, is who's responsible for your balding patterns. When you have massive patches in your facial hair like I do, like it's just never grown in all of the places. Like my mustache and my beard thing look like they're connected, but they're not actually connected. It's just that the mustache is so disgusting that it blends over into the beard thing because the beard thing doesn't really grow enough to connect. And then there's these ski runs down my chin here where for some reason, right there, Jared, there's just like,
yeah.
It's like, what happened there? Did someone cut me there at some point? Was I burned? Because usually if you have like patches, it's because there's scarring, yeah, or some kind of issue. And as far as I know, I never had any neck slashing done to me, so I'm not really sure what the fuck happened there.
Well, do you remember that the past is real? Because the scars would remind you of that if they were in fact scars. So if you don't remember that the past is real, those aren't scars and we don't know what they are.
I thought you were asking if I remember the past is real.
Yeah. Oh, the past is real.
Like the sovereign country of Israel. Is it sovereign? Is that what the argument's over?
I think it is sovereign.
Did I just take a side by calling it sovereign? I would like to undo my side-taking and stand back firmly in the middle and just refer to it as simply Israel.
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 The last thing I'll say, and this is a backhanded compliment that I think you'll agree with, nobody has ever done so much with so little with your facial hair.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It hasn't been easy. It took years of stubbornness. Like, for anybody who has shitty facial hair, they know this. The only chance you have is to let it grow out, shave it, 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 so that every time it comes back a little bit stronger. And this is years and years and years and years of work just to get to a place where it's even mildly presentable on camera. So thank you, Jared. I appreciate that.
Like, until you point out that you have patches, I never noticed.
That seems I've literally referred to myself as Patches O'Houlihan before. Jared and I were running an errand just before recording, and then we were driving back to Bolin Media HQ, headed south on Mopac, when J-Bone spotted a truck with a dude in the back of it, like in the bed of the truck, and that's not unusual at all of a thing to see here in Texas. But what was unusual is that the tailgate was down. Okay? Also, they were doing 75 miles per hour easy. Like, we had to speed up to catch up to this guy, so that I could get video of it on Instagram. And the man in the back had his beanie pulled down over his eyes. He was at least 50 years old, and he was plopped on top of two giant pieces of PVC pipe that were hanging out the back. And Jared and I called him the human strap. Like they drew straws every day. Somebody has to be the human strap. And this day it was Joe. And it could have been a corpse. Like, the man did, he looked dead.
I said to Ross, I was like, Ross,
is he alive?
There might be a dead man in this truck bed.
And then, like, we put it together.
Like Ross said, so normally to hold down two large pieces of PVC pipe, the pieces of PVC pipe were longer than the truck bed, which is why they had to put the tailgate down so the PVC pipe could go over the back. Now, I'm wondering, why not just put the PVC pipe to where it's going over the tailgate, like,
right,
you know,
at an angle,
angled upwards.
And then straps. Yeah. That's what every normal person does. But in this case, when you've got Joe the human strap and what I'm guessing collectively truck-wide was a low IQ, then you just plop him back there, and he gets some Z's in. He takes a nap. And that's the fucking mind-blowing. It's nuts to me that there's some days I can't even ride on the highway in the passenger seat of a 2021 Tesla SUV without having terrible anxiety. And then there's this dude laying in the back of a speeding truck on the highway with nothing to protect him from death but a beanie.
Now, do you think maybe he was having a panic attack, but the beanie over his eyes is like a coping mechanism? Like,
that,
I can't.
That shit's definitely effective.
It,
I mean, no.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Facts, he had the beanie down over his eyes because for anybody who's ever ridden in the back of a pickup truck on the highway, which I have, which most people who joined a fraternity in the state of Texas have, it's windy. He pulled that motherfucker down to keep his eyes and the general. It's noisy. It was down over his ears too. It's very windy, and he was protecting himself and or dead, and he literally did not move a muscle the whole time we were watching him, which was a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, and like Ross said, I had to speed up. They were going at least 75 minimum.
Wild Shocking. Stuff.
Bing bong,
bing bong. Speaking of straight up dumb shit, my favorite internet trend right now is these terrible self-defense training videos. The internet has unearthed some guy named Billy Ragland. Okay, that's his name. Billy Ragland, R-A-G-L-A-N-D, on TikTok, whose bio labels him a firearms instructor and ambulance man. I don't know.
That does not sound like a registered EMT.
Just wait. All of his posts on this account are of him teaching people, quote unquote, self-defense moves that 10 out of 10 times will absolutely get you killed. But he's presenting them as actual self-defense moves. Like, he has 89,000 followers at this point, okay? But, like, they're all completely asinine. An example I will give. In one video, he tells viewers, he's got a guy standing directly in front of him. I mean, right in front of him. Like, you couldn't even get a full arm's length. The guy's right there. And the guy's holding a gun, and he's got the guy pressing the gun up against his gut, which is sizable. He may be wearing Kevlar, too. He's taking this whole thing very serious. And the attacker is instructed to pull the trigger and shoot him with the gun in the belly, right? Again, standing right in front of him, directly in front of him, gun pressed into his stomach, and the guy's like, okay. And he tells him, make sure you pull the trigger, like the dude is going to misunderstand the fucking situation. So he pulls the trigger. So the first time, he always shows you, like, what, you know, that's what would happen if you didn't have my video. Now here's the move I'm going to teach. And he's like, all right, try it again. Make sure you pull the trigger. And he, like, slides his hand down, and you're like, wait, what? And you can't really tell what happened. And then he holds up the gun with his finger stuck in the trigger mechanism where the other guy's trying to pull it. And he's like, see, he can't pull it because I blocked it.
He stuck his
the
finger,
man's ability yeah. to pull the trigger. So he therefore could not be shot.
So he lodged his finger in between the trigger and the gun so you couldn't pull the trigger
yes.
back. Okay.
Yes. That's his strategy that he has distributed on a TikTok account to 89,000 people. It has 18.4 million views now. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what it is about these self-defense training videos gone horribly wrong, but they remind me of like the old Danny McBride comedy Foot Fist Way. Did you ever see that? It was kind of the precedent to his big HBO hit where he played the baseball player.
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. It was the precedent to that, and it was where he was a Taekwondo instructor. It was a low-budget film, black comedy film. He was a Taekwondo instructor who didn't know shit about Taekwondo. It was almost Black Santa-esque. I'm sorry, Bad Santa-esque. With Black Friday, I just want everything to be black now. And the self-defense videos, specifically Billy Ragland, I don't even know if it's a trend or if it's just that these are all Billy Ragland videos being distributed, but I've seen so many of them in the past couple weeks, and they fucking kill me every time. And every time the comments are just thousands of people going, do not do this, it will absolutely get you killed. There'll be like military people in there like, I served 18 tours in Vietnam. Do not ever attempt this, you will die. Every single one of them. One of them, he's standing in the middle of like seven attackers, okay? And he like looks at the camera like, watch this. Like, this is how you handle it if you're attacked by seven dudes. And then he just kind of ring around the rosy, sprints in a circle around them, pushing them into each other and shit. And they're all clearly in on it, right? And you're just like, what? That's not how any of these people would behave. It's like he thinks it's a video game or something. Anyway, absolutely bizarre behavior from Bill Ragland, and to put it on TikTok and then to go viral. I mean, the one that I saw that we're using as the example today is clearly his like over the top most viral one so far. 18.4 million people, and it's it the Don't you have to have like a permit to try to present yourself as like a firearms
Maybe
instructor slash ambulance man?
Well, ambulance man, I wonder if he's referencing that classic self-defense video where the old man is about to get into his car, and then a robber comes up to him and goes like, give me your money. And the guy pretends to have a heart attack. He goes, oh, call an ambulance. And he stands up and pulls a gun out and points it at the attacker and goes, but not for me. Maybe he's referencing that classic clip.
I mean, that'd just be such a deep breath. And he doesn't strike me as like...
self-aware.
Very self-aware.
Or he's incredibly self-aware. That's like with these kind of guys...
It is possible. I cannot claim definitively that Billy Ragland is not team content. I don't know, Jared. I'm almost hoping he is team content. Because if this is a legitimate human trying to pass himself off as a self-defense trainer, then maybe we really are past saving.
If he's not kidding, does he belong in jail for potentially causing the death of millions of people who've watched his videos?
I don't know what should be done with him. If he's not kidding,
probably given like a TLC show.
He should be banned from TikTok. Certainly, we've almost been banned, and we haven't put up a single self defense video that leads people to almost die.
Nope,
not a single one. We just make a penis joke here and there that they don't approve of. They've got to at least take away Billy's power. This is just, it's like wrestling, like WWE, but with like knives and guns and weapons. And why? Like what? But why? Is this the only, when he went, he was like, all right, I want to make internet content. I want to be big on TikTok. I want my kids to think I'm cool. This is the only alley he saw. Self-defense videos was the only unoccupied pathway to fucking 90,000 followers. TikTok is, as Jared and I have frequently discussed, the most straight vein, like pure heroin version of the internet ever. And it's like you can flip through there and just like see humanity deteriorating. And at some point you hit a Billy Ragland clip where he turns to you and says, because I blocked it. Unfucking real, Jared. Good stuff, though. Look it up. What is his account? It's at Billy Ragland 1836 on TikTok.
What's 1836?
I do not want to know, but enjoy the content. It is there. Is he team content? TBD. If you have further information on Billy Ragland, please reach out to me at WR Bolin on Twitter. At WR Bolin on Instagram, where you can email me, ross@bolinmedia.com, because I can't get enough. This episode of RBP is brought to you by Cuts Clothing, as seen on the world's elite athletes like Patrick Mahomes, Damian Lillard, Tim Tebow, and Bryce Harper, just to name a few. The sport of business means demanding excellence from your craft and wardrobe. Your fits need to be versatile, blending timeless style and comfort so that you look as good as you feel, and for that, there's Cuts Clothing. Cuts makes the best t-shirts in the game, point blank. Best t-shirts in the game. I wear them routinely. Whether you're hustling for promotion, working on your golf swing, chilling with friends, you can wear a Cuts tee and look good. Out at the bar or on a date. I mean, it is the most versatile, well-fitting, and comfortable t-shirt I have ever owned. They're amazing. Cuts Clothing keeps you feeling good and looking sharp. Built for performance in the boardroom, the bar, or the gym. Wherever the game takes you. GQ Magazine calls it the only shirt worth wearing. The perfect t-shirt accomplished. Cuts became world famous for making shirts that look as great as they feel. Whatever life throws your way, I'm wearing them like 3 to 5 days a week, realistically. And now they've got incredible outerwear as well. I'm a huge fan of the new bomber jackets. If you're a bomber jacket guy, cutsclothing.com/RBP. The power vest is there for those of you who desire power. The Sherpa. The full zip is quite baller. We've reached the point where you could wear Cuts and only Cuts for every layer of your outfit if you wanted to. Pants, shirt, jacket, vest. And you would legitimately look good. Cuts, it's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work, leisure, apparel. For the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/RBP. That's cutsclothing.com/RBP for 15% off your first order. Support the show. Go to Cuts. Get yourself some nice clothes. Or for Christmas presents coming up, you got a brother, an uncle, anybody that would enjoy a Cuts Clothing item, then go to cutsclothing.com/RBP today and get 15% off your order. Speaking of Christmas, Jared, Hanukkah just ended.
Did.
Jared informed me, happy belated Hanukkah to those of you who practice. I hope you got everything you wanted from God. Who gives presents to the Jews?
Your parents.
Oh, so there's not a lie involved?
Nope, no lying. Jews are pretty straightforward.
Oh, yeah, y'all hit that one on the head. Because Santa was a fucking mistake. Apparently, you know how confusing it was, Jared, as a young boy, and I mean a young boy, to be told that not only were we celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, who would later be killed and then resurrected from the dead as the Son of God, but a white bearded man in a full-on crazy person red suit with a fucking hat that matches. The only person dressing nearly this bizarre at that point in time was the man in the yellow hat. Pharrell didn't have his fashion sense yet. And that he would come down your chimney and deliver gifts to you once a year, and not just you, every single fucking kid in the whole world.
And while he's in your house, he kisses your mom.
And there's songs about it. And we all sing it together because it's funny.
And outside your house, he ran over your grandmother with one of his reindeer.
And everybody thinks that's cute too. Doesn't make any logical sense. Fucking confusing amount of stuff to be thrown at you when you're a kid. And then one day you go to school and some little shit with red hair named Jamie goes, Santa isn't real. And you know what that does? Breaks your trust. It was all downhill from there for me.
What about the tooth
fairy? Fuck you, Jamie, by the way.
Who'd you find out was fake first, the tooth fairy or Santa?
I don't think I ever believed in the tooth fairy. That was one that I remember them trying to sell it to me. They were like, yeah, you put your tooth in this thing under the pillow, and then the tooth fairy is going to bring you like a dollar or something. And I was like, wait, like she fucking, she's going to float. Hold on. She's going to float. Do y'all let her in? Does she float? Santa has an entryway. They explain it very clearly.
Well, she
the
could
fat
come
man
the
comes down the chimney.
Well.
Yeah, but there was no explanation. They just say the tooth fairy is going to come while you're asleep. We're all fucking scared of what could happen while we're asleep. Every goddamn human ever. The Rock is scared of the dark sometimes. While you're asleep, a fairy is going to come into your room, steal that tooth, and replace it with currency. Which, the first thing every kid thinks is, holy shit, how can I get more of these out? Oh, I had pliers and shit around the house. I was trying to get fucking teeth out. Are you kidding me? These are coming out anyway and I get paid? I need more weed. I'm ripping teeth out at 7 years old for a dime bag.
It's kind of fucked.
The streets was hard. No, I'm kidding. About parts of this, but other parts I'm serious. It's for you to figure out which parts are which. Tooth fairy. What a fucking stupid lie. But seriously, Santa? I think that was a mistake.
You think they should have just gone, your parents?
Straight up like the Jews. Guys, we're just giving you these. These are, we made money this year. With that money, we're going to buy some presents to celebrate our family and the end of the year and the fact that a very long time ago, when our people needed candle wax, God provided.
Well,
that's the story of Hanukkah, right?
Pretty much. That's another thing you got to think about. It's like, hey, this is the birth of the guy who is the Son of God, died, got resurrected. Wow, crazy. The Jews are like, yeah, that lantern actually stayed lit for like longer than we expected it to. Like, that's the difference. Okay?
I know. I like the simplicity of yours.
Yeah.
I might
don't fuck around.
Maybe I'm a Jew now. I don't. What do I? No, there's like a whole thing. I got to do. There's like all kinds of stuff you got
to
do.
Yeah. Well, you need to. There's a few. You got to control the media.
Got a, somewhat of a foothold at this point. Small, admittedly. But we're starting. Stop making. See, it's not fair because I'm not Jewish and I don't know what jokes I can and can't make. You can do whatever you want right now.
You can do whatever. You just can't
I'm
say.
I'm just in the cancel zone.
You can't say Zionist. We don't like that. That's a dog whistle word.
There are a lot of them now. They keep coming up with more. They tried to take the fucking Hawaiian shirt from us. The racists. What the hell was that?
And the tiki torch.
Are they out of their fucking minds? Did they think that we were just going to stand by and let them do that? I will never for the life of me understand how the Proud Boys were like, it's Hawaiian shirts. That's how we'll stand out. What the fuck?
Well, you know the story behind how they picked that.
No.
It has to do with that break into Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, it's a whole tie into
the Boogaloo.
Like, here's the thing. If you're listening right now and you've never heard any of this and you're tempted to Google, don't even bother. Because the end of the rabbit hole is so fucking stupid that you just feel sadder by the end of it. You're like, wait, what?
Like the original QAnon, kind of.
It's the dumbest fucking reasoning, though. Like, the reason for every single... It's. I guess we don't have to get into the explanation behind why racism is dumb today, but it is just logically, fundamentally idiotic.
But yeah, one big thing I noticed...
Almost as dumb as Santa.
The big thing I noticed this year is that a lot of people were like, wait, Hanukkah's already happened? Like, people are like usually ready to fucking go with Hanukkah and Christmas at the same time. Now I think people are like, wait, so I don't have to say Happy Holidays? Like, I can just say Merry Christmas because Hanukkah's over, but then there's Kwanzaa.
Yeah, this
and Ramadan, I don't know when those two are.
I think now that I'm really considering it, the Jews should have told you that the presents were from God himself. Because you are his chosen people.
That's true.
So you're half chosen.
Which part of me did he choose? Which half?
TBD. The point is, it's the holiday season. Christmas is around the corner. The giving season hath arrived. And as such, it's time for us to make our traditional Christmas list.
Okay.
You know, as a kid, making a Christmas list, that was like an all-time activity. That really was, it was one of the, you know, one of the best lists you would make all year as a child. But as an adult, it's fucking weird. And we struggle mightily with what to ask for. Like, for instance, did your parents ask you, Jared, what do you want for Christmas this year or for Hanukkah or for either?
Yeah, and I got some
things. And what
did
you respond?
Well, I responded.
Well, you don't have to tell us, I guess. It's a bit personal.
Well, I can say something.
How easy was it for you?
Well, it was easy because I, as a 28-year-old, I'm at the point now where I'm like, I want to have some things that are not like gaudy and not like fancy boy things, but like things that would improve my quality of life slightly. And they're all super like millennial, late 20s, early 30s guy stuff. For example, you're going to like this one.
You don't want to be a yuppie. So not yuppie.
No, no, no.
But nicer things. So
not even that nice. Like nice, but
okay,
not like...
what's the example?
I got a new pair of Birkenstocks to replace my barnacle ones.
I thought you were going to say like a fucking bedside table.
I mean,
Birkenstocks?
Birkenstocks.
Okay.
I got a coffee grinder.
Coffee grinders, but that's more on par with what I was thinking you would ask for.
And I got 3 wooden spoons for my kitchen.
You end up asking for things you need.
Exactly.
That's
not
the key.
These are not things I want. I mean, I do want them, but I need them.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you ask for when you've gained the ability to buy yourself stuff? That's essentially what the problem becomes if you're lucky enough to get a job and make money. So this year, like every year, my loving and wonderful parents asked me what I would like for Christmas, and I was like, fuck, and then it hit me. You can buy yourself these things, obviously, so pick some shit you'd buy yourself and tell your parents, boom, you're done. But like, people overthink this so hard. Just don't pick timely things. But literally, just pick something you want that you were going to buy, like if you needed a new coffee grinder, but it's not timely, so you don't need it now, and ask for that.
What about a hooker?
Depends on your family. I can say with certainty, 100% certainty, that there are families in the United States who gift each other prostitutes for the holiday of Christmas.
And definitely for 18th birthdays.
1,000%.
But now that makes me wonder, like, so states in which prostitution is legal, like Nevada, in the, I guess, some outlying counties, can you get like a gift card?
I'm sure they have gift cards to the whorehouses. Why wouldn't they? Everywhere has a gift card. Jack in the Box has a gift card.
Yeah, it's smart. You get the money up front.
Jack in the Box has a gift card, which is one of the... That's a weird place to have a gift card to me. The whorehouse should have a gift card. I mean, you know, degenerates all run together. They gift each other whores. Jack in the Box, who the fuck gifts an Egg McMuffin or whatever the fuck? A sourdough Jack.
A taco. A fucking taco with half a Kraft single
in it. Oh, fuck. Thanks for the curly fries.
Yeah, because... that's essentially forcing somebody to go
eat Jack in the Box. My great grandma used to give me McDonald's bucks.
I like that.
But that's like the tier A version of any fast food gift you can be given. Jack in the Box gift card is down there with like Burger King gift card.
I have for you, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. The worst gift card that you can get somebody that I want to say in my life, I've received over $200 of them.
What?
iTunes gift cards.
The other one that I think happened a lot more in the past than it will moving forward was Amazon gift cards, because it's like,
that's just money now, right?
I mean, so you're just prepaying Bezos for me. That's what you've done?
What do you do with an iTunes gift card? I used to buy albums and songs, but now I have Spotify. I guess I can pay for my Spotify with it, maybe?
I mean, back in the day, that was the idea. It was like, here, go enjoy 20 songs from like your aunt. She'd give you an iTunes gift card, and you were like, thanks. And I think it's called Apple Music now.
They're two different things. Apple Music is the Spotify. It's a streamer version. iTunes still exists. You can still buy songs.
These tech companies have struggled mightily combining all of their platforms to the point that it is asinine. So much so that Facebook just went, fuck it, we're Meta now.
Who is still buying songs on iTunes? One album costs you $10, which is a month of every song in the world, I mean, including those songs.
Dude, the shit that old people are still buying would melt you. They're definitely out there still paying Tim Apple.
Like, I buy vinyls, but that's a thing.
Has inflation affected the price of music? Because remember when it was 99 cents and then it went to like $1.29 and everybody was like, well, what the fuck? And then it was $1.99 and then we were like, okay, we're just getting back to, and then Spotify was like, yeah, we got this. And then I never checked again.
I have not looked. I don't even know if I have the app on my phone. But
at one point I had Apple Music and then like, it was fine, I guess. And they had some exclusives, and I was like, fuck it. But then one day I was like, I fucking hate it here. And I switched back to Spotify, and I was like, my God, Spotify's so much better. But now I've hit the point where I hate it there, too.
Okay, I'm looking up Donda.
When they give me a playlist, it's like Ross's Mix of the Day, number one. I'm like, I've heard all these songs 7,000 times. Wait, why are you looking up Donda?
So I'm looking at how much it costs to buy Donda. Guess how much, if I wanted to buy Donda Chant right now.
Just one song.
One song on
$2.99
on iTunes. It's $1.29.
$1.29.
To own Donda Chant.
To hear somebody go, Donda, 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 Donda. That's pretty incredible.
So there are 27 songs on Donda. Each individual song is $1.29. Or you can get the whole album for $14.99.
Is Bruce going to puke? Oh, he almost puked. He head faked.
He did.
He pump faked.
So that's a pretty big discount there.
What's the difference? All this shit's going on credit cards. You can chalk it up to an algorithm run by the National Debt in Westworld, so who cares anyway? I recommend asking for something outrageous, like a car. That's what you should ask for.
Or, he's making funny noises down there. Or you could ask, again, for a hooker.
I asked for 3 pairs of the same pants in 3 different colors. This is 34. I've got some insane headlines.
Okay.
We can discuss, though. Those are fun. Number one. Bomb squad called to ER after a patient turned up with a World War II artillery shell lodged in his rectum, police say. Let me just read the story before you comment. A man presented at an emergency room in England with a, quote, munition in his rectum, police say. Doctors removed the World War II artillery shell from inside of him. Bomb disposal experts confirmed that the shell was not live. The Sun was first to report that the unnamed patient told doctors at the hospital that he, quote, it's at Gloucester Royal Hospital, which makes it all the funnier because it's in Gloucester, England, and you would just think that, you know, when you think of the Gloucester Royal Hospital, you think of, like, people sipping tea and fancy all-white coats and while they get their cancer treatment or something.
I think they just say Gloucester, don't they?
I don't know,
Gloucestershire?
It's spelled Gloucestershire, and the best my white American ass can do is Gloucester. But he told the doctors there that he, quote, slipped and fell on the 2-inch wide artillery shell. And it was apparently part of his military memorabilia collection. And the cap on this is that the British newspaper Metro reported that procedures to remove objects from patients' rectums cost the National Health Service around $450,000 per year.
I mean, this is just a classic case of a trip, a fall, and a fucking bullseye, you know?
That's the old joke about when you walk in on your, you know, wife sleeping with somebody else, and she's like, oh, I tripped and fell on his dick. There's an Eminem song about this. I think he kills Kim in it.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
He tripped? Wow. How does that... Does she have to then explain why his hard dick was out?
Yeah, that's the joke, I think. How do you... But like odds wise, uh-huh. If you slip and fall and a World War II artillery shell goes up your ass, you've got to really be questioning some your karma or your something is you're cursed or something. I don't think that's probable. I think it's more likely he was getting freaky with it, unfortunately. But I don't know why you would.
Well, he has a collection.
I mean, people will just literally fuck themselves in every way with anything. It's uh-huh. wild.
I mean, realistically, this dude clearly has dedicated, you know, at least part of his life to collecting
memorabilia.
Military. So, like...
He cares about it deeply.
I have this thought that I've always had that's like, anybody who collects something, and it's like, you know, you collect shoes, right?
Right.
Like, so I instantly then go, oh, Ross fucks his shoes. You know?
What about stamps?
Yeah.
You think stamp collectors...
They roll them up and stick them...
Jack off on their stamps?
I think they roll...
What about coin collectors?
They fuck the coins.
How do you fuck a coin, Jared?
You put them in a coin roll and then stick the coin roll up your ass.
That's a coin fucking you.
Well,
your theory about people...
That's actually shame. You can't shame bottoms.
Your theory
Ross
about
is bottom
people,
shaming.
Your theory about people who collect is outrageous.
You are bottom shaming.
And therefore rejected. Your hypothesis has been rejected by science.
So is his.
What was mine?
No, this guy's. That
oh, yes. It was, this. I don't even know if he's fine. I didn't even check. I hope he's fine. He's dead. No, it killed him. No, he's fine, I think.
Did he die from it exploding or from it?
Well, it was not live, so it didn't explode. I just... If I ever, Jared, slip and fall and something goes up my ass, you better back me up that's what happened. Nobody believes this guy. And that sucks. What if that's really what happened?
Why was he?
If he wasn't fucking himself in the ass with an artillery shell is what I'm asking. What if he really did slip and fall and he ended up having to go to the hospital because he had an artillery shell in his asshole and he couldn't get it out himself?
Okay, I just feel like the odds... All of the odds here of like he had to be around the thing naked, he had to trip
fall down
directly,
perfectly up his ass,
and
far enough for him to not be able to get it out. Come on, man, what are the fucking odds of that?
He happened to relax his sphincter while falling.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just up front right now. I'm an out not in guy with my tool. It's a personal decision. It is what it is. Everybody gets to pick what they do with their tool. Okay. And there is just no, I just, how would an artillery shell?
That's the whole thing. Like, the fact that he had to go into the hospital means it was pretty far up there.
I
feel like the butthole would reject unwanted object.
Look, they've got a picture of it, and it's very pointed, right? So you can see kind of like what may have occurred, but still, the angle in and of itself, like, I could see how you could get a lot of things stuck in your ass. But artillery shell's not one of them. We can move on from this. I just am upset by it.
I do not think he tripped and fell.
A thing that's not upsetting to me, our only other insane headline of the day, Jack quit Twitter. Jack, what's his last name?
Dorsey.
Dorsey, one of the founders, co-founder of Twitter and CEO of Twitter, one of the most popular social media websites in the world for what, going on 13 years now, something like that? 12 years, 13 years?
Yep. Also founder of Square?
He is. Also the founder of Square, which he is choosing to focus on. He's been the CEO of both of these major corporations, publicly traded companies, for the whole of their existence, as far as I'm aware. And that's already outrageous in and of itself, right?
I don't understand how you can be a double CEO.
I don't understand how you could... Okay, I do understand how you could be a double CEO, but the circumstances would have to make sense. I do not understand how you think you could be the CEO of a financial institution and then also a social media corporation. Because literally, to be able to be the head of Twitter, you would have to be bad at being the head of a financial institution. Because for you to be good at Twitter, you have to stare at Twitter long enough for your brain to turn into a social media nightmare. And that guy, it was never him. He was never that guy, pal. Jack. So I'm stoked that he's finally like, all right, fuck. Because look, I've watched Instagram, I've watched Facebook, I've watched Snapchat, I've watched TikTok, I've watched all these different platforms make all these different moves and copy each other and mold each other. What has Twitter done? Now the most recent thing they're shoving down our throats is something called Spaces, where you go and listen to other people talk live.
It's like Clubhouse.
Yeah.
But it's actually probably going to be better than Clubhouse.
But this is probably like the 30th iteration of different new features they've tried to push out on Twitter and then eventually taken back in most cases.
I can't believe you posted Fleets for like months.
I was so invested in Fleets, man.
That was my least favorite thing that you did.
And if you're not a Twitter person, which most people aren't, I've found, there are dozens of us though. And I love Twitter, my favorite social media platform, bar none. What were we talking about?
You using Fleets like a psychopath.
Oh yeah, Fleets were their Instagram stories. So they saw Instagram stories, which also go to Facebook, and those came from Snapchat, right? Snapchat was the OG, and then they were like, we need those, let's call them Fleets instead of tweets. And then I was like, okay, so every time I would make an Instagram story, because we're content creators, I don't recommend anybody else live like this, because we're content creators and this is our job, I would take the Instagram story and then put it in my Fleets too. And I did this for months while nobody else was doing it. And not only did nothing ever happen because of it, they eventually took it away entirely. They just said, fuck it, no more Fleets.
Whatever, you mentioned Snapchat, which is a social media platform I've completely forgotten about, haven't had it on my phone in years, never use it, probably right now have a bazillion funny ass things I can go watch if I logged in. What ever happened to that like dude who was married to the supermodel who founded that shit? Did he sell it? Like, what's going on with Snapchat?
I don't think he ever sold it.
Evan Spiegel.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure if Spiegel still is in charge of it though. Let me look.
What supermodel is he married to?
He's the co-founder and CEO of Snap Inc. What supermodel is he married to? Damn, how is this not one of the fucking top questions about him? It's like a bunch of things about his net worth. Mm-hmm. Miranda Kerr.
Uh-huh.
He married in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, dude, Snap's another publicly traded one that's had like big ups and downs out over the course of the pandemic, and that it's one that, like, you know, similarly to Twitter, if you don't use it, there isn't a great sales pitch for why you should.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. For most people, they're like, I don't want to write jokes or ideas or my thoughts and then tweet them out for other people to read. That sounds fucking stupid. But for a select millions of us, it sounds awesome.
Snapchat only sounds fun if you have a bunch of friends who you are like in the same area as, for like college. I used to Snapchat a ton my sophomore year of college. Everybody kind of stopped fucking doing it.
I think it's an age demographic thing and regional though, because there are certain pockets of people that, because I've asked this question before and I've had people explain to me like they use Snapchat exclusively to text with their friends, and their whole friend group only uses Snapchat. They don't use text message and shit.
That's
like that.
Weird.
I also got into an argument with, so this is like Gen Z and then pre-Gen Z. What's the one before Gen Z? Does anybody know yet?
Like in between or after?
No, after. The younger than Gen Z. What are they called?
Generation.
See? I asked this the other day and I had no clue.
Gen X?
What comes after Gen Z?
The Zoomers.
I thought Zoomers were, Zoomers are Gen Z, bro.
Oh.
It's Generation Alpha. Anyone born after 2010, Generation Alpha.
We're getting alphaed by them? That's kind of fucked.
How did they get that?
I want to go beat their ass.
What the hell am I? What are we?
We're betas.
No, we're millennials.
But we're also betas.
How did we not? This is ridiculous. How did we not even get a gen? They were just like, millennial scum. Everybody else, Gen A, Gen Z, Gen X.
Who's Gen X?
Boomers got screwed hard. Baby boomers. We got screwed next hardest. Millennial? I was born in 1987. Why the shit does the millennium have anything to do with my birth date?
I've got a question for you.
13 years later.
Imagine these were all girls. Which one do you think would be the hottest? Gen X, Gen Z, or Gen Alpha? That's J-E-N.
X.
Gen, yeah. That's definitely, that's like a porn name. Gen X.
With a J instead of a G?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, back to Twitter. So Jack stepped down finally, and the hope for people like Jared and I, who have invested years and years and years into this platform and love it, is that finally maybe some positive changes will be made. Well, some of the first changes made were privacy and also information and specifically media spreading related. Like, I can't technically take a picture of you right now and just tweet it without your permission.
See, I don't understand this rule. So what if I'm out in public in a public space and this is a legal photo because I took it because you're out in public in public domain?
Yeah, I do not know the answer to that question. People are very upset that this was like the first big thing that he did.
Yep. The other one he did, I saw you saw this, the drag alert.
Yes. If you get retweeted by a very large account, like let's say you've got 306 followers on Twitter and you're on there and you say something about Rob Gronkowski being terrible at football, and ESPN retweets you. You get an alert that says, you've been retweeted by a large account. Would you like to mute the replies? Because then if Rob Gronkowski and all his fans come after you and internet bully you, there's a question of how much responsibility Twitter holds in that space. I actually think this is a positive step. It will keep people from running their fucking mouths so much.
But you also are only saying this as somebody whose replies were miserable for many days.
Many
after,
years.
Many times.
Many, many, many years.
Especially
many
after,
days. Dude,
I'm saying
first...
recently, the Deshaun Watson one. That was days where you like couldn't see your...
Oh, yeah. Well, but just in general, like the first like 4 years of my career, I don't even remember a positive comment or reply. We just had a toxic audience at that point. But... It's a move that I think will make Twitter a safer place. And I know free speech is a thing that everybody likes to argue about, and the amendments and the government trying to take away our rights and all that shit. I get it. But this is not you talking in public. It's you tweeting on a privately owned, publicly traded platform owned by a publicly traded company. It's not. There are rules that can be installed in different arenas. And in the case of Twitter, if you've been paying any attention, especially since 2016, it's been a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, they don't like it when you post copyright video on there.
They don't like it when you do a ton of different things. And then it's just the most toxic. It's the closest social media to Reddit.
Yes.
All right? So it's the one that breeds the most anonymous accounts, the most unchecked, unfiltered, zero responsibility interaction.
And the response so far from this new CEO, not necessarily making me think we're going to get the changes that we want.
Yeah, because the thing for people to understand, the most important element of a social media platform's survival is that it motivate content creators to put content on that platform. Otherwise, why would anybody come to the platform, right? That's how they drive users and new signups and get their time on screen up and make more money and charge more for their ads. So right now, TikTok being the most highly motivating platform for Jared and I as content creators to put our stuff on because it exposes us to the largest audience, allows us to reach new potential listeners, new Bolin Media fans, gain new followers, and do it at a very rapid pace. Whereas Instagram has really put the clamps down and said, give us money and we'll show your stuff to people. Twitter has just always been like, oh, we don't really know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you go viral and stuff. Do fleets now.
Yeah, so.
Okay, spaces. Maybe that'll. But it's always been the most difficult place to build an audience. And I say this with proof that I have like 30,000 followers on Twitter or something. The RBP TikTok account that Jared essentially started, 6 months ago, has 60,000 followers. It's my show. How the fuck is it that I have twice as many followers on TikTok as my personal account on Twitter? That makes no sense.
That I've had for 26
12
times
years.
As long.
No, 13 years.
2019.
12 years. 2009, excuse me. I joined in 2009.
Yeah.
12 years on Twitter.
Yep. And that's the big thing with TikTok. They just show your shit to so many people. And people who like your shit even a little bit will follow you. My favorite thing to do, I do this all the time. If I ever see a funny viral tweet that's like, you know, some topical viral thing, somebody had a funny quote tweet of a big popular image, whatever, 20,000 retweets. I always will click on their account, 1,800 followers. Like, you get no fucking followers from your good content on Twitter.
Yeah, you don't. There's no reward. There's no, as we pointed out with TikTok, they did such a good job of putting that little plus button, the follow sign, right there. Right? Mm-hmm. So you could just hit it and move on to the next video. Now you're following that account.
Without even getting off of the fucking video.
Twitter just, they've done a really bad job all around of making it a growth platform. So that's the one hope, is that I really don't give a shit what they do in terms of making more rules to make it a safer place, because it is such a nightmare fucking war zone in there.
Imagine if they just made, like you said, what if every tweet had a little follow button, or it popped up a follow button when you like opened up,
clicked on
the tweet. Like, they're so bad at that. But Ross and I were talking about this today. We will be attempting to make Twitter a thing.
Well, we're going to try to, like with each and every other platform, we've found the very, in most cases, obvious ways to go about growing our accounts. Those don't work. That doesn't work on Twitter. That strategy does not apply to Twitter as a platform. There isn't one that we have really found. It's a bunch of random shit that we haven't really done because it's kind of goofy. But we're gonna try stuff on Twitter for sure. So follow at WR Bolin, at Jared Borislow, at Formula Bone, at the Ross Bolin Podcast, Ross Bolin Pod on Twitter. Excuse me. But yeah, hopefully this new dude can find a way to make Twitter exciting again, because the cell, like, remember when Instagram came out and we were all on there like, oh shit, wild, pizza box. And it would be like, we would all post the dumbest fucking shit, like the stupidest posts, that eventually that's why they were like, okay, we need a less permanent way for people to put up pictures, because people are putting up dumbass pictures. Stories. Boom. Problem solved. Instagram has been relatively well run its entire existence. There's just, there's just never been a way on Twitter for them to, or like to move forward from what they, how do you, okay. My point was, Instagram, people learned it. Your idiot Uncle Jimbo is on there and knows what he can and can't post, or he doesn't, and it doesn't matter, but everybody joined anyway. So why is it that Twitter, where the wall seems to be that, well, if you don't want to write stuff, you shouldn't be on there, so people don't go? I mean, nobody had anything worth sharing on Instagram either, as we've seen. Here's my shoes. Why is it that Twitter has never been able to pull people? It's very strange.
I think part of it is just like, visual media is so much easier, because somebody could post a picture without a caption and you could look at that picture for 10 seconds. Somebody could post a fucking piece of text and you're like, up, too long, scrolling past it. Up, don't care, scrolling past it after the first three words.
Right.
Like, you, pictures.
Pure laziness is the answer.
Yeah, pictures, your brain just is forced to interpret, whereas words, your brain can go, nah, if I get, I don't
care. It really was their inability to see the writing on the wall, no pun intended, when Instagram came out and it was like, oh baby, nobody's ever going to read anything ever again. I mean, video became the thing. This was like 6 years ago when Jared and I were working in online media, when everybody in the advertising space said the same exact thing. Video is the future. Video is the future. Video is the future. Video is the future. And Twitter was just like, yeah, we think the future is actually, let's add more characters. Remember when they added more characters?
220, right?
Remember when they had to ban the president? What a fucking mess. It's been such a shitstorm for years.
But Trump was by far the best thing to ever happen to Twitter.
I mean, it was the best and worst thing.
Yeah, I'm saying, they got so many new users, I'm sure.
Well, now they're all gone.
Now they're on, what's it called?
The best and worst thing.
Truth.
It was just the worst thing, because Trump pointed out all the flaws in the platform.
And then left.
At their highest level.
And then left.
And then left. I mean,
yeah.
Fake news became a thing because Donald Trump invented it on Twitter, basically. Yeah. That's where he was shouting all of his messages all the time and yelling about fake news, everything's fake news, fake news, fake news. I mean, that was his, he was able to use Twitter and weaponize it, essentially. I mean, in the same way that every politician does, but at a much more effective level.
Yeah, but like, we're talking about it, like, that's what we have to do. We're trying to find a Twitter growth hack. Let's just copy what Trump did.
You just got to go full Trump?
He fucking crushed it. Like, come on.
Undeniably,
he got so many followers.
Undeniably, he was the greatest Twitter user in history. No one will ever be more entertaining on Twitter than former President Donald Trump.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. Somehow that is true. Today's episode of RBP is also brought to you by The Daily Tip. I've been betting on sports since college. It is undeniably one of the finer forms of gambling. And if you enjoy it and a good sports bet like I do, I've got a podcast suggestion for you. The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Hosts Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger bring you early morning hot takes and analysis. So if you're into sports betting, you know just how quickly the lines can change. And a lot of the time you're like, why or what or how? And if you've got a lot riding on those odds, it pays to stay ahead of the curve. So before placing your bets for this weekend or the next game, listen to The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM for the best betting analysis and information. Great show for those of you looking to get more and go deeper into the sports betting world. As much fun as it is to bet on the game, it's even more fun when you've got the inside scoop. Ready to bet with an edge? Tune in to The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Listen weekdays 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on Odyssey, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. In sad news, the last member, the last surviving living member of Easy Company has passed away. It was Colonel Edward Seamus, the last remaining officer of World War II's Band of Brothers. For those of you who have watched HBO's is it a docu-series? What do you call that?
It'd be a biopic series.
Because it's based on the truth.
Yeah, it's biopic.
Band of Brothers, one of the greatest series ever made, in my opinion. I've watched it probably like 10 times through, which I don't necessarily recommend. You probably only need to watch it once. It's phenomenal, but it's also brutal and taxing. This guy made it to 99, though. Ed Seamus, 99 years old, the last surviving officer of the historic World War II Parachute Infantry Regiment of the U.S. Army, known as Easy Company, that is followed throughout the course of the show Band of Brothers. It's the focus of the entire series, Band of Brothers, and it's one of the cooler tales of the kind of brotherhood that comes out of military service that came out of World War II, and as such, is very, very famous. And this was the last living guy. Seamus passed away peacefully at home, CNN says, and according to his obituary posted by the Holloman Brown Funeral Home and Crematory. During World War II, according to CNN, Seamus was a member of the renowned Easy Company 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne Division, now known globally as the Band of Brothers. All of that was also included in the obituary. It says, quote, he was involved in some of the most important battles of the war. He made his first combat jump into Normandy on D-Day as part of Operation Overlord and gained a reputation as a stubborn and very outspoken soldier who demanded the highest of standards from himself and his fellow soldiers. So he was not one of the main characters on the show, just not that the show part actually matters all that much. But for those of you who are like trying to remember in your head right now, just Google it if you want to see a photo of the dude that played Ed Seamus on Band of Brothers. But, yeah, it's kind of an odd moment in history. As, you know, I make a lot of jokes about boomers on this show. But there are not that many of them left. They're very old, Jared, the boomers.
Yeah, World War II is a long time ago. What's funny is, like, I remember when I was...
But it wasn't, Like, it was, but it wasn't.
That's the thing. When I was in middle school and high school, right? I'd be like, oh, yeah, World War II... That's the thing my grandparents remember, right?
Yeah.
But, like, now that was, like, 15 years ago, and a lot of them, you know, let's say they were 70 at the time, 85, a lot of people are not living 85 these days.
Yeah, bro. This shit started in, World War II was 1939.
To 1945.
5 years. It's kind of crazy to think about, wait.
6 years?
6 years. It's kind of crazy to think about that in the context of the conflict in the Middle East. What do we even call it at this? It's not the war in Iraq. It's not the war in Afghanistan. It's just us being in the Middle East.
That's what they call it.
The war on terror.
The longest war in U.S. history.
that has gone on significant, almost twice as long as World War II. That's fucking crazy to think about, man. Yeesh.
Oh, it's gone on way longer. World War II, we've been there since 2001.
I thought we just hit the 10-year anniversary. Was it 20?
20 years. Longest conflict. The war in Afghanistan specifically was the long until we pulled out. Was the longest.
Dude.
Yeah.
Have we pulled out?
Yeah.
You know how many times I've thought we pulled out?
No, we did this time because now the Taliban took over, so.
Oh, I forgot.
Mission accomplished.
Please clap.
Please clap.
Wow, somehow that ties in perfectly because also Bush.
Jeb Bush.
Wow. What a series of jokes to end the show for today. Jared and I will be back again. Tomorrow, maybe. Definitely by Wednesday. And most certainly on Friday on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where if you want to support the show and you didn't know, there is a third episode that comes out each and every week with no ads in it that's brought to you by you, our supporters, in exchange for a direct financial contribution, pledging to support the show each and every month on Patreon, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. The episodes are really fun. It's a smaller, more intimate and sexual audience, admittedly.
Yep, but the episodes are the same length as
they are
episodes.
Sometimes even longer.
And the second you get on Patreon, you listen to every single episode.
The backlog.
That was ever put on Patreon.
Yeah, if you join today, right now, if you're like, you know what? I really like Ross and Jared. I enjoyed today's podcast. I'm going to go on there and to support them for December. The second you sign up on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, you gain access to our entire backlog of episodes, columns, random
I'm
poems.
Pretty sure it's over 100 hours
I released
of
a rap song at one point in a manic state. That was fucking weird.
Oh yeah, you've done two rap songs now.
One of them was in a manic state. The other, can't really recall. I've done two?
Yeah.
When was
the
other one?
You know the pod man gets paid.
Oh, that was fucking awesome. I was not in a manic stage for that. I was just pissed off. And alone for the more recent one. Anyway, so if you want to hear those, go to my rap songs, go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast today. And in exchange for just $5 monthly, which you can pull out of your ass if that guy can get a World War II artillery shell out of his, you can support the show in exchange for much, much more RBP, meaning Jared and me. Thank you for being here today with us. We'll be back soon. Until then,
bing bong.
Bumblebee tuna.
Go low, baby.